Hi, you guys. Welcome back. This is Richard Sachs on Lost Arts Radio, and we have our friend Dr. Henry Ely back, also known as Dr. Hanalei, and he's the founder and executive director of Energetic Health Institute, a really unique educational institution that we may get a chance to mention as well. But there's some news relating to his work that I want to get into, and we've got a short time for it. So, and I should mention also for the people that have not met him before that he's a naturopathic doctor. We just kind of take that for granted at this point. Yeah. But involved in all kinds of different stuff connected with the COVID scam and a lot of different things that are relevant to the assault on humanity and the need to turn it around in a narrow window of time that we have. So welcome, Dr. H. Thank you for being here.
Richard, thank you so much. Thank you so much for, let me put that to voicemail. Thank you so much for having me once again. I really appreciate it. And especially everybody in the audience, thank you so much for embracing me again. Hopefully I have some really good things to say today.
Yeah. What have you been doing since we saw you?
Oh my goodness. Well, we have a couple things cooking right now. You know, I'm a real big believer in just following my heart. Wherever my heart is taking me, I want to be there.
Yeah.
So my heart has really taken me to the children and parents who've been injured by the shots. I've been working very closely with the REACT-19 group.
And now, this is even though they're safe and effective, right?
Even though they're safe and effective, right. Okay. If they're safe and effective, you don't need me. You know, we've been seeing some, we've been learning a lot there. I was under the impression that there were a lot of doctors already helping out. It was very much to my surprise when I met a few prominent members of the REACT-19 group that no doctor is touching them, even the doctors on our side of the fence.
Well, they're not touching what?
They're not helping them. They weren't getting any help. They were getting paraded around at these events, you know, to ask for help, but nobody was stepping in to help them. And so as soon as I found that out, I was like, that can't happen. So
right. This is what makes a great scientist doctor, is not just the intellectual knowledge, but following the heart, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's the combination.
Right.
And you're talking about specifically the victims of the COVID-19 shot.
Right. The people who've been injured by the experimental shots, whether they had immediate adverse events or whether it was this accumulative thing, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We're learning now why that's happening from a clinical perspective and what we can do about it using combinations of what we have historically used to help the mitochondria produce energy, integrating especially integrating autophagocytosis through fasting, integrating traditional detoxification methods using, like, I love using bentonite clay, and Dr. Robert Young just encouraged me to switch over to the clay from France. It starts with an M.
Montmorillonite.
That's exactly it.
And if we have an extra 4 hours and you don't mind, we'll talk about autophagy and things like that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's really important stuff. It should be a core teaching in medical school, right?
It should be the foundation. I just did a talk down in San Diego this past weekend on the future of education in health, right? Health education.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, the fundamental problem we have in allopathic, in the white coats, is that they don't know nutrition. You know, when you talk to them, they don't know it. But when you look at their curricula, they get on average 19.6 hours, according to the National Academy of Sciences.
That's more than I thought they got, actually.
Right. Well, it is more than a few schools get. Some get zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it amounts to basically a weekend workshop.
Right.
There's no way that you can effectively utilize the potential of nutrition after having a weekend workshop of education. It's impossible. I mean,
you have to learn it in addition to detox too, right?
Exactly. So, like, there's several things that nutrition comes to play an instrumental role in, and this is what we're learning about in more detail because of the injuries that we're helping people with.
Yeah.
Energy production at the cell level is always primary and number one.
Okay.
But then what we're learning is that the mitochondria are playing an instrumental role in how the cell communicates with itself. And so if there's injury to the mitochondria, that whole communication pathway is going to be disrupted. We're seeing a lot of methylation issues in people who are having adverse events following getting these experimental shots.
And you think this is a reflection of bad communication?
I think what it comes down to is that the shots have been injuring the mitochondria and injuring the communication ability within the cell to coordinate all the functions. And as a result, you get degradation of tissue. As a result, you get attacks from the immune system and autoimmunity. I mean, it creates a whole cascade of really adverse sequelae. And when you when that occurs, you have to stop for a second and go, okay, what has to happen for this to stalemate? Because a lot of people have jumped in. The people who are working to solve this problem, I've been counseling a lot of them and saying, look, the big mistake you're going to make out the gate is you are going to try and get into recovery. And that's not the initial therapeutic goal. The initial therapeutic goal, because we're in such uncharted waters, is to stalemate decline first. And you can use our normal biomarkers to do that. We can figure out how to stalemate the decline of the tissue and of the cell.
They also need to have a complete view of what the problem is, right?
Well, and that I don't think any of us do. I don't. I've been studying this at nauseam.
But that's what I'm saying. This is a multi-pronged attack in these vaccines.
Right.
mRNA is a whole issue in itself, but so is graphene oxide, so is graphene hydroxide, so are the apparently electronic metallic-looking nano self-assembling particles that go inside it.
Yep,
not to mention the natural and synthetic parasites that some people like Carrie Madea found.
Right.
I mean, there's quite a few things happening there, right?
There is, but here's the cool part about it. We can go chase the dragon's tail on each one of those.
Right.
Or we can get back into the fundamentals of cell function. And when you get back into the fundamentals of cell function, it gives you a starting point to build from instead of going and chasing one problem after another. And that fundamental at the cell level still is the production of energy. You got to have that or you got nothing. You can go chase until you're blue in the face.
Right.
Got to
right.
get the cell producing energy. Once you get to there, then the cell's enzymes, metabolism, detoxification, enzymes used for lipid and protein assembly all start to go up.
Right.
Once that happens, now the cell starts to self-correct. If you do the final step, and this is the key, in my opinion, today, and I might change this, but right now I've seen no reason to change this.
Right.
And that is, you've got to give the cell time off to work. And that time off is witnessed as absence of calorie, intermittent fasting, and clinical fasting. The work of Walter Longo out of the University of Southern California is miraculous.
He's done some fasting mimicking protocols too, right?
He has, and I haven't studied those as much, so I can't speak intelligently on them. But I start getting becoming a purist, Richard, when it comes to autophagocytosis. I don't want to trick the body into autophagocytosis.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. I can do that with cannabinoids. I can give somebody an elevated edible and have them have their body convert it to 11-hydroxy-THC and then get into, you know, their body. Because this is the thing. Most people who enjoy cannabis don't realize this. So I'm gonna drop something that's gonna make you go, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
When you put cannabis in your body, almost everybody gets the munchies, right? The munchies are the sign that your body has gone into autophagocytosis. Cannabis is the only botanical that can engage autophagocytosis without a person needing to be absent of calories for an extended period of time. But if you eat something when you're getting the munchies, if you eat something with calorie when you're getting the munchies, what you're essentially doing is turning off the medicine that is in the cannabis flower. So it's contradictory at that point. You need to let yourself be hungry. The message, Richard, to everybody is you have to let yourself be hungry every single day. And if you are dealing with a significant issue, a significant health issue,
right,
you owe it to your body to give yourself 3 days off,
real fasting,
real water fasting every single month. At least
this is a problem that I ran into when I tried to talk to Dr. Longo about this because he's doing good work, and I was doing a study on cancer, natural cures of cancer, and he was talking about fasting or fasting mimicking protocols as a complementary to poisonous cancer therapy known as standard of care. Right. And I was saying, well, of course we realize you don't need the standard of care if you fully utilize the fasting protocol. And he didn't want to talk anymore.
Well, and he can't. And this is what sucks about it. Yeah. The reason he can't talk about it is because he's at the University of Southern California.
Right.
And his funding is coming heavily from the pharmaceutical industry. And if he talks about it now, any work that he has lined up to take his understanding of autophagocytosis into an even more profound realm. And I think he's, and personally, I think in the world right now, he's at the top of the list in terms of his understanding of it, right?
Okay.
But now he threatens that ultimate mission if he talks about it on a radio show.
Yeah, so the market disappears.
Right. He can't talk about it. They'll shut him down instantly. So it sucks that, because that's scientific censorship right there, right?
It is. It's a big issue in society as a whole right now, blocking the dissemination of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of work with Hippocrates Institute, which has cured a lot of cancer cases. And the guy that was advising them as a conventional cancer specialist still believes fasting by itself can't possibly cure cancer. he hasn't even looked at it because he's been told that it doesn't exist, and the censorship kicks in and they're not allowed to learn otherwise, or else they fail medical school.
Well, sometimes you need to fail a system of education that is failing everyone else. I think that's a badge of courage, a badge of honor. If you were to go in and take a test for like the USMLE and say, none of this makes sense, it's all wrong, and you know, and fail it, there's no loss there.
You know, or do you give them the answers they want, get your license, and then tell the truth?
Well, of course, that's the correct answer right there. But what I'm suggesting is, what we think we know about health and healing is a joke compared to what there actually is to know.
Yeah, about everything, that's true.
About everything, right? So for me, what I'm objective. I tell everybody this. The opinion I have today may not be the same opinion I have in a year or 2 years, especially of working on something, right?
That's real science.
That's real science.
It never settles.
Science is never settled. Science is an exploration. Science is a curiosity. That's why it's a fool's errand to follow it. It doesn't know where it's going yet if it's really pure.
Right.
You don't follow science. You follow data. Data is what you follow, because data, when it's accurate, data when it isn't fraudulent, data when it is based upon good scientific curiosity and it follows scientific method, now helps you shape your opinion.
Right.
Something, right?
But then it still needs to be questioned, because
you
have things like unknown variables.
100%. So
right, that are affecting the outcome.
How do you know if someone's objective? It's very simple. They change their mind in the presence of new information. That's right. How you know that somebody is objective. That's what I strive to be.
It's not an ego thing.
No, it's not about, I want to be right. Of course I do, but not so, I don't want to be right so much that I refuse to change my mind and it hurts people. That's
right.
Ridiculous.
The other thing I want to say is that I support your idea that with all these different assaults built into the vaccine, and to a lesser extent in all vaccines, they're all a fraud from what I found.
Yep.
No benefit. It's not a risk benefit. The risk benefit ratio is infinity. But in spite of the different elements within the COVID vaccine, there's only one thing that can heal the body, and that's the conscious life force inside it.
You. Amen.
So your single approach is perfect.
Well, when you understand what, because like we have the physical body, we have a spiritual component and reality as well. We are ultimately not our bodies, right?
That's right.
And we have a purpose here. So like, this is what I was giving this talk on the future of health education. I was like, listen, we have to leave this archaic, limited definition that the allopathic world wants us to adopt. That the absence of disease, the absence of detectable disease is health.
Symptoms.
Right. The absence of symptoms is health. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Right? That's ridiculous. Every single moment of your life, your body is producing cancerous genes and byproducts, right?
Right.
Is your body's ability to deal with them exceeding the body's ability to produce them, or vice versa? Because that's going to tell you whether you're entering into a cancerous process or not, right? So when we look at this, you know, and I've maintained with people forever, I said, listen, think about what would happen if cancer never formed. And they go, what do you mean? I said, listen, cancer is a gift. And I know it sucks, but I can say this, all right? Cancer is a gift. It buys you time to figure out what's wrong at the cellular level and maybe even the spiritual level. Mm-hmm. It gives you time. Without a body, without a cell transforming and adapting into a cancerous form, what we call a cancerous form, we think, oh my God, bad, this person's going to die. Without that, the person, the entire system, the entire body would succumb in minutes to that process. I'm buying you time to figure this out, because this can be reversed. Anything that's been created in the body can be reversed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So it's not something to be scared of. It's something to check in with. Well, what am I doing that's throwing this entire system out of whack? Because I can tell you, you've been throwing it out of whack for a long time.
So you really look at your own lifestyle.
Right. So next week, we're going to have Beyond the Con. Right, we're going to have Beyond the Con in Yuba City and live online all around the world. And what we're doing is we're having 3 days of hope, health, and freedom. Day one, we're going to be giving everybody an update. On Thursday, the 12th, we're going to be giving everybody an update on where the criminal legal actions are. What's the progress of the grand jury petition that my team has filed in federal court? What is Tom Renz doing in terms of criminal allegations? What's Dr. David Martin doing in terms of where are these cases progress? We're going to update the entire world on where these things are at, and hopefully inspire more attorneys to start pursuing criminal allegations against these wrongdoers, right?
This is in the series of the last one that was a year ago, basically.
Right. We're taking that next step now.
Same everything.
Same venue. We have updated our experience for online. So we're not going to, we feel like we're, I'm going to cross my fingers, we're going to be impervious to cyber attack, and it's going to be stable now. And we will have recordings. Everybody who registers gets access to the recordings at no additional charge.
Okay.
And everybody who registers and donates, know that your money doesn't go to line my pockets. I'm a pro bono dude on this. I've been a pro bono dude on everything for two years and will be. It goes to promote health education. It goes to promote more grand jury petitions so that we can pursue justice. And it goes to help children and parents who are injured by these shots. And that's what we've been spending the money on. And we did an update on this last week. But your generosity has been so instrumental to us moving these projects forward. So that's why I'm saying it's hard for me to say it's mine. You know what I mean? It's like, I did this.
This is going to be 3 days, you said, right?
3 days, May 12th through May 14th.
That's pretty soon.
It's next week, baby.
12th through 14th. We're recording this, so we better broadcast it immediately.
Amen. I appreciate that. So on Friday, Richard, we're going to be talking about health. We got some people coming out. I just interviewed Nicola Burnett, who has a beautiful functional wellness center in Las Vegas. She's going to be talking about the EE system, the energy enhancement system that Dr. Sandra Rose has championed and everything. We're going to be talking about the things that you may not know are out there.
I haven't heard of her.
Help. She's awesome. I just met her last Sunday. She's awesome. We're going to be, John Hewlett's coming out to talk about heart health and some of the things that can really support heart health. We got Kevin Jenkins coming out again. We got Dr. David Markin.
Yeah.
We got Dr. Zelenko's coming out. to share his wisdom and his, you know, that deep, like, he's got this incredible resolve I love about.
Is Dr. Zelenko getting some appropriate help so he reverses the cancer he's got?
I don't know yet, but I will hopefully get a chance to talk with him.
Somebody needs to, convey to him what's possible.
I will do my best given the opportunity, of course, right?
Good.
And then on Saturday, we're going to get into hope. And so one of the things that I'm going to be talking about on Saturday is I'm going to be giving all of the data and all of the information that we've acquired in helping the injured community, so that we've developed a schema for the healing process that we want to share with not only people who are injured, but also people who want to help them, you know, nurses and doctors who want to learn how to do this. We're going to start sharing this information.
What kind of recoveries have you seen so far?
Well, in the patients I've worked with, using nutrient therapy, pretty much like an 11-day nutrient therapy, 3 days of fasting, and then just keep repeating it until you get where you want to go. Okay. I've seen what I would consider full to almost full recoveries, like 98%
from people that are how badly damaged?
Bad enough to where they are feeling their bodies really start to devolve and seeing biomarkers like thyroid tests go off the scale and stuff like that. So we've seen that work in them. What I'm working with now are people with severe neurologic injuries. Relative to the experimental shots.
Paralysis, non-control of the nerves of the limbs.
Right, and it's a very. I'm learning a lot, and I can say we've gotten them stable, which feels good. Right, it's like you're not declining. I bought us time now to figure out the next steps of the process, and where it's brought me, Richard, is severe disruption of cell communication within the cell. It just seems like the cell, like one part of the cell is talking one language and another part of the cell is talking another language. And then you get this, I don't know, did you see that Lund University study that came up, the one that came up in March?
No.
Okay. Lund University did a study. Let me pull it up real quick here. It's called Intracellular Reverse Transcription of Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 mRNA Vaccine, BNT162B2 in vitro in human liver cell line.
So it translated into English, this means that what the mRNA is telling the cells that they have to start doing.
Right. And essentially what it's saying, like the CDC and the drug manufacturer, the pharmaceuticals industry said, there is no way that these mRNAs can reverse transcribe and upload into your nucleus, into
total
your
total nonsense. Yeah.
This is what they said. It's not possible.
Well, they also said it's restricted. It cannot leave your shoulder muscle.
Right, exactly. All that nonsense, right?
So you may have a really bad shoulder muscle, but you'll be normal otherwise.
Right. So this publishes February 25th of 2022. It starts getting pushed around pushed out around in March, right?
Okay.
And what it shows conclusively, let me read the last line just so I'll quote directly.
Yeah, good.
Our results, quote unquote, our results indicate a fast uptake of BNT162B2 into human liver cell line HUH7.0. leading to changes in line one expression and distribution. We also show that BNT162B2, that's the Pfizer experimental shot, we show that the mRNA is reverse transcribed intracellularly into DNA in as fast as 6 hours upon exposure.
Which totally makes sense.
Right. So these things have reverse transcribed, uploaded into the human genome. Right. And now what happens is now the person's cells are constantly producing spike protein and constantly producing what Stephanie Sinnott from MIT just published on with Greg Nye, microRNA. And both of those are incredibly toxic and physically injurious to organelles within the cell, not the least of which is mitochondria. right? And so that's what our my theory right now is that's what's disrupting cell communication, and we got to fix that. So how do we fix that? Well, in my exploration, it makes sense to make sure the body is nourished,
right?
And then give it a period to do what it does best. Fix the things that shouldn't be there. And that's autophagocytosis.
It's just a new thing to fix this time.
Right.
It's haven't seen cases of corrupting the RNA and DNA in the body.
Right. So now, and then I'm working with a few other prominent specialists, like Judy Mikovits is helping me with the biochemistry on this immensely. Ted Fogarty, probably the country's leading expert on hyperbaric oxygen, is helping me set up, like, hey, when are we going to know that this person's ready for hyperbaric oxygen therapy? And what are we expecting to get out of it? Because we have to look at how are we going to get into neuroregenesis, right? We have to start. But what a wonder. I mean, it's a terrible thing, and it's a terrible thing for the people going through it. But it can also be something where we learn a tremendous amount. And I think what we're going to ultimately end up learning, Richard, is that the body was designed even to handle this evil.
Yeah, that's really the issue, because right now, even if you raise the mitochondrial energy, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. the issue is the body is taking on, falling for this con that it's being given. Mm-hmm. Speaking of beyond the con.
Beyond the con.
And the con is, you're not really a human body. Here's your real instructions. Right. And the body innocently says, oh, okay, mm-hmm. and starts using them. So mm-hmm. it does fall for it. And the question is, can it unfall for it? Can you help it recognize that that was a mistake?
Yeah, well, I think that's where autophagocytosis, in my study of the body the last 20 years, is the only built-in process at the cell level that allows the cell to heal whatever's in there that shouldn't be in there, cleave right. out segments of chromosomes that shouldn't be there and replace them with the correct ones, package up waste in the cytosol and merge it with lysosomes to break it down and repurpose it. It's the only process I've ever studied that can do this. There isn't a nutrient. There isn't even therapy that can do this, unless you want to look at fasting as that therapy.
And that's been for thousands of years.
Thousands of years. Thousands of years.
And so the question is, that cell that's been reprogrammed to produce poison, mm-hmm. can the body recognize that as an abnormal cell that shouldn't be there?
Yes. And here's why. When you get the infection of the artificial infection of the shot, the lipid nanoparticle with the mRNA in it and the additional things, the graphene oxide and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
What's happening now is, once the lipid nanoparticle merges with the phospholipid bilayer, it releases, it unpackages the mRNA sequence.
Yeah.
When that mRNA sequence goes to ribosomal subunits, what's happening now is the ribosomal subunits are going to create not only spike protein, but cell surface identifying proteins. Cell surface identifying proteins that go into the MHC class 1 kind of arm of the cell that says, hey, the MHC class 1 says, this is what I am as a cell. So
that identifies it as an alien species.
Right. It's going to identify it as not self specifically.
Right. So the question is, how many of the human body cells got converted to not self?
I'm sure a lot, and especially in a specific tissue.
And what happens if the immune system, what is still functioning correctly, attacks all those cells?
Well, then that's where you get a misread of autoimmunity thinking, and with their ridiculous idea that I've never thought of autoimmunity as the immune system working wrong. I've always been like, well, the immune system's working correctly. What's the problem is that, what is the cell surface identifier? So if you have an infected cell, a chronically infected cell or chronically infected tissue, mm-hmm. it's going to identify itself as not self. And then by definition, the immune system should attack those cells. And so it may not feel good to you, but the immune system's actually doing its job.
What we're supposed to believe is the body just went crazy for no reason.
Right. Well, It's right. That's what they want, because then that takes away responsibility. The reasons have been, you know, chemical pollution, infections, man-made infections, nutrient deficiency, buildup of really negative experiences, you know, a lot of trauma, things like that. I mean, all of these go into this milieu of this vat of what we are underneath our skin at a cell level. And you have to clean that picture up. That's why I say to all my students, Richard, we start with energy production, because we get the cells and the mitochondria producing energy. Right. What happens is now a lot of the noise that we were looking at the beginning goes away. And now you get a clearer picture of what you actually have to address at that point. But you got nothing until you get to that point of ATP, what the Chinese will call qi, what the Ayurvedics call prana. You got nothing until you get that process underway at the cell level. You get that process underway at the cell level, it may heal everything. I don't know. But it may.
But without it, you can't heal anything.
Without, exactly. Right.
And I wonder if what you're going to run into, among other things, is an issue of modulation. So that, for example, if it has progressed far enough, so a lot of the body's cells are corrupted, doing the wrong thing and have to be eliminated, rather than doing that all at once and committing suicide, if there's a way that the body can be helped to do it gradually so that the good cells build up at the same time at sufficient ratio.
That this is the approach of cyclic fasting, where you're doing 11 day cycles of nutrients and then 3 day cycle, 3 days of 3 days of fasting, get into autophagocytosis and then rinse and repeat it. Because what you're doing is you're flooding the body for 11 days with nutrients, not just for energy production, but also proteolytic enzyme therapy, for example, to break down any spike protein and microRNA that's circulating in the body.
Right.
And then you do it again, you know, and then you let them fast. And when you're fasting, what you're saying is, I've given the cell a reservoir of nutrients. So when it goes into its autophagocytosis cycle, it is now able to not only clear what it needs to clear out of the cytosol, but there is the potential that through epigenetics, it is now, and the methylation pathways, that it is now cleaving out the aberrant mRNA. And in
this is the opposite of the transhumanist technique.
It's the fully humanist. I'm into a fully humanist.
Exactly. It's kind of a contest right now, because, you know, we're getting a lot of promotion of the technocracy's idea of what the ideal human is.
Yeah, right.
And there's not going to be any more spiritual issues, because they're all imaginary anyway. And the idea of God is going to be disproven. And, you know, the people will no longer be biological units by 2040 or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that. And they want to be able to, like, do that whole Battlestar Galactica Cylon thing, where you can transfer your consciousness through a series of zeros and ones to a new GMO body.
And network everybody's brain hive mind.
The internet of things, the internet of biological things. Get out of here with that nonsense. We already are networked. It's called the Tao. I don't know if you've ever studied the Tao, but we're already connected.
Yeah, very deeply.
Right.
So we're basically connected because we're one being.
We've it's impossible to disconnect from source.
That's right. That's why what you do to somebody else, you do to yourself.
You do. That's right. I mean, this is a thing that these people have a big hole in their heart, and it's all a joke, because a terrible joke, but it's all a joke because what they do is they market it as an altruistic idea. It's the same thing eugenicists have done all throughout history. They marketed slavery as a as a altruistic idea. If we don't help these people by enslaving them and hitting them with a whip and raping them, that they are going to fall into the dark because these are descendants of Ham and all this other nonsense, right?
They're philanthropists.
So I'm really helping them by beating them and raping them and torturing them.
It's for their own protection.
It's for their, and of course, yeah, I get a little gain, all this money over here, but they get the kingdom of heaven.
And I don't really care about them, all the money that I'm making too.
Right. I don't need it at all. Right. And then you get into the next level of eugenicists. And the next level of eugenicists is forced sterilization in this country. And you see that. And of course, it happens the same group of people against the same group of people. And then who sees what we're doing and goes, hey, I think they got a little something going on over there. Hitler. And Hitler invites our people from the eugenicists over to educate him on how they're doing.
They were his inspiration.
Right. And then he takes that to a whole ridiculous level.
Right.
And then instead of us saying, that's it right there, 60 million people died so that we could defeat basically eugenist ideals. Alan Dulles, the attorney with the Eisenhower administration. I don't remember exactly. He goes and he through Operation Paperclip and clears out all of the Nazi scientists' records and says, come on over to the state.
Most of them were hired.
Right. Yeah. We hired them. Brought them over here. And now we're surprised that this is the outcome. This is the fulfillment of their work.
Right.
This is what they wanted. And it was like, why would you want this anywhere near? It's not an accident that the 1964 Clean Water Act comes on and starts fluoridating everything. It's because of those scientists. That's what they were studying at Auschwitz.
I have a theory, and this sounds totally insane, I'm sure, but I think that even the perpetrators at that level can, in theory, be healed if we get good enough at what we're talking about.
I think they can too. I mean, now, I don't know what that looks like, Richard, but this is all an illusion. It's a beautiful illusion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you get down to it, this isn't who we are. I mean, this tree I'm looking at right now is gorgeous.
I think it's literally a dream.
It's just a dream. You know, so why don't we do something daring, something bold?
There's no limits if you realize that's what it is.
And embrace that dream, but don't embrace it in the way that these people, this is nonsense. This God complex these folks have, and you can see it in the white coats, this God complex. I'm like, here's a novel concept for everybody out there. When's the last time you remember your doctor being humble? When's the last time you remember your doctor telling you, I don't know, and saying, you know, I don't know. Let me go research.
That should be the most common statement of any real doctor.
The most frequent common statement should be, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'll let me go find out and I'll see what we find, because that's what science does. It explores the unknown.
Right.
That's all this is. So I follow the science. No, you get out of my
face. It's interesting that attitude in science, real science, is the exact same attitude in real spiritual searching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not defending your belief. It's saying, I want to actually know from direct experience. So let's find out.
Amen. Right. So we're talking about, Richard, for next week, the May 12th through May 14th at beyondthecon.com. Just go to beyondthecon.com.
I got to write that down.
It's real simple.
Beyond.
Freedom, health, and hope, right? And we are doing it in that order because I can't take any more of the outrage. I'm filled up on outrage. Believe me, I'm outraged to the
top. It doesn't end up solving anything.
But it doesn't solve anything. We have to move from the outrage into productive action.
Right.
We can't wait for people who have really nefarious ideals to have an epiphany. I'm not waiting for you to figure it out.
You're supposed to provide the epiphany by who you are.
Right. I'm going to go do my thing, and I'm going to help as many people as I can, and I'm going to hold as many wrongdoers accountable as I can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do what I can to make sure this never happens again. But that looks like a lot of different things. It's not just, how do I make sure this never happens again? It's not just, let's say we were able to get a constitutional health freedom amendment added in. It's not just that. You can't take a break then. They'll just figure out how to get
around. No, you have to have a conscious population.
Right. It's about saying, listen, here's what I got for you. I got love and a lot of it. And that love is supported by this education. I was telling folks, like some people asked me at the event, they were like, so how much have you studied nutrition? I'm like, it is easy for me to say I have 40,000 hours of nutrition in this brain, natural medicine, easy. And it's probably in the neighborhood of 50 to 60,000 hours. But to just be gentle, I was like, we have to get people who are working with people into the 5,000 and 10,000 hours in their brain, because what that happens is now you're creating new synaptic pathways that allow you to flexibly apply all this information in new ways and really personalize it to the situations that you're encountering. Instead of protocols,
we have to go ahead. Also, I got several hours of things I want to tell you in a couple of seconds.
Hours of things I want to listen to.
Maybe you can come back.
I will. Before too long. Let's do it.
But I think also this whole education thing, there's a point where it gets beyond the paradigm of just learning what you read and study, and that you develop another faculty internally in your perception where you start learning things directly without the books, and that direct inspiration, not by memorizing a belief, but by actually perceiving it and then testing it out, especially in yourself, and then sharing it. And that's another level of consciousness above memorizing whatever good stuff we read in a book. Yeah, and Richard, I think everybody can get there.
Richard, I agree with you 100%. Everything that I teach, the teaching concepts, the thought process of what we do, comes from meditation. I sit down in meditation and it starts flooding in, and you organize it.
Exactly.
You teach
it comes directly for you've got the source inside yourself, as everyone does. And the problem is people stop meditating to do the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. And the state you live in is the major meditation that you're doing, right? Between official meditations.
That's right. Meditation is a practice, is to help you get into a point of stillness, right? That's what it is. Right. It's about, because when you get into a point of stillness, it's easier to hear and perceive and feel your way through to the correct answer, you know, to pose a question internally and get the answer and listen to that first thought that comes into your heart.
Right.
But you don't have to be in a practice of meditation to be in a meditative state.
No, and everybody's meditating and doing some kind of a mantra 24 hours a day.
Yeah, they are.
It's just not necessarily productive.
Well, I think yours is very productive. Every time I come on the show and talk to you, I always feel better. And I know that's because you're emitting so much love energy. And that's
I feel the same with you, because if all the doctors turn out to have the attitude that you're explaining, the world would be unrecognizably beautiful. So you're running out of time, though, and you have to go, as you explained. So for the this event, what about for the people that can't physically go there? What can they do?
Sure. We have it set up for online as well.
That's going to be really important for a lot of people. So how do you do that?
So you go to the registration, you go to beyondthecon.com, and when you register, you can check out as a virtual attendee. You'll be able to not only watch, but you'll be able to ask questions. We have a utility called Slido that allows us for you to ask us questions, because at the end of each segment, we set up a Q&A with each presenter. So you get to actually ask questions, folks, things like that.
Now, if you attend virtually like that, do you get a recording? Because if people are working, they can't necessarily be there 3 days.
100%. Within, we tell everybody, give us 2 weeks. We usually get it done before then, but we just want to manage expectation. Give us 2 weeks to get all the videos rendered, get all the videos up into our learning management system that we have at the Energetic Health Institute, and then we give you access to it, and there's no additional charge. It's included with your registration.
So can you get solid DVDs if you want?
You know, we don't do that. We're trying to keep waste down.
Okay, you know, so if somebody wanted to record the file onto a DVD, they could do that.
They could do that themselves, no problem. I wouldn't trip about it at all.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for being here. I mean, I'm sorry that we have to stop talking.
Me too.
Consider this part one.
Amen. I'm right there.
Hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here. That was Dr. Henry Ely, you guys, naturopathic doctor, and really inspiring to me with all of his great work and attitude. The main inspirational thing that I take from it is the lack of, you know, the usual attitude of ego and defending a point of view and saying, I'm the most knowledgeable doctor and you can't argue with me because I have a stethoscope. And, you know, the whole attitude and of academic science and public health version that we're taught today and that's being taught in higher education. If you can take the ego out of the equation, which is really not that hard, you just have to recognize it and just drop it because it's just stupid. And, you know, it doesn't do anything but hurt ourselves to maintain it. And then have the understanding, like Dr. Ely does, that all these other people are us in other forms. So even the bad guys. And if we're fortunate enough to have some little bit of understanding more than some people have, then it brings back the Spider-Man dictate, you know, with power comes responsibility. And people like Dr. Ely, who have done all this research and medical work and speaking all over the country or the world, they have a lot of understanding and wisdom, some of them. And that's a responsibility, which Dr. Ely is obviously taking seriously. His educational organization, which we didn't even really have time to talk about because he had to go, is Energetic Health Institute. And I think the website, although I didn't make sure of this, is something like energetichealthinstitute.org, but you can check that on a search engine. But we're in the process in general of coming up with the elements of building a new society, a new civilization before the old one is totally destroyed, so that the old criminal parts of the one we don't need become irrelevant. And hopefully people within the system start to wake up and realize, wait a minute, you know, what was I doing being a bad guy or bad lady? That's not who I am. Because that's a secret that is not widely known. The bad guys at heart, even though it's buried under miles of vicious programming, they're the same as us. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense to love your enemy is yourself, because they are yourself. There's one being hidden in everybody. It doesn't mean don't do self-defense, you know, and some of these major criminals need to be taken out of the loop in prison after they're convicted of whatever crime they've been doing for everybody else to stop being damaged. But it's not necessary to fly into a rage, as Dr. Ely was saying. That doesn't make you stronger. We covered that with Dr. Cousins this week in our ongoing series, Conversations with Gabriel. And if he was talking about the analogy of his experience as captain of his undefeated football team, and before they would start a play, he wouldn't be getting revved up and start screaming and just, you know, get as angry as possible, which you might think would be the way to get strong. He was wiser than that, and he had to get totally still and in touch with his own internal power, and then they were unstoppable. Same thing applies to us. So anyway, I don't want to keep going on with that. Dr. Ely is worth following and supporting, and the event that he came on today to talk about is this three-day event in Yuba City, California. The last one a year ago was fantastic, and this will probably be as good or better in some ways. There's a website for it called Beyond the Con, like con game, beyondthecon.com. And remember, we asked him about attending virtually because most of us can't drive over to Yuba City for those 3 days. And he said, yeah, you can get a virtual ticket at beyondthecon.com and you have a discount code that he said we could share. And it's E like Edward, H like Howard, I like India, EHI. And I guess there's a place to put that. I haven't gone in and tried it yet, but this will be worth preserving, listening to and preserving. Most people won't have 3 free days to just drop everything and attend. So he said the attendees who have a live or a virtual ticket will get a recorded file, and that you can download to a DVD or whatever you want to do with it. So it's going to be very inspiring if it's anything like the last one. And I would advise people to really look at whether you can do it. Other than that, the work that Dr. Ely is doing on demonstrating working on multiple levels at once, meditation work is primary, but so is the work trying to help the victims of the shot, and educational work that he's doing both in his school and at the speaking events, which comes down to educating yourself and opening up the incredible potential that every single one of us has to absorb this healing power that can sweep over the world like a real positive pandemic of wisdom and consciousness. And that's our job, along with whatever our job is on the physical level. So let's see, is there anything else I wanted to say? Support their work, donate to it if you've got resources. If you want to help us stay on the air, we've got a donate button at lostartsradio.com and a subscribe star link, which also works equally well at the same place, lostartsradio.com. And then for this project of making the power and effect of self-awareness and meditation and life transformation permanent, we have a group meeting at planetaryhealingclub.com. And you're invited to that too if you want to get into it on a deeper level, because the meditation is critical, but it's what you do in between that determines the depth of it. And we're working on that if you want to join us. Stay in touch at lostartsradio.com. There's communication forms there, and there's a lot of free information. There are videos and audios uploaded almost every day. More than anybody to have time for, but it's good educational material. And watch the Sunday shows, because the guests we have coming up are amazing. And I feel really, I don't even know what to say about the people that we get to meet doing this show. I mean, inspiration is a valuable thing. And if you let it, it can transform your whole experience of life, no matter what your situation is. So I advise you to consider it. It's accessible at the moment and free, and take advantage of it. And honor yourself. It's not selfish in a bad way. It's critically important, because if you internally get quiet and you find that you're putting yourself down or condemning yourself for things you did before when you didn't have the same consciousness you do now, that means you can't really give your best energy to anybody else. We've all made really stupid mistakes. And once you realize that, you can't, you know, it's a natural sense of humility. It's not fake, because you realize, wow,